For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, which comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Reverend Romeo Selmensah of the Makarios Church, Adringano, will teach and direct you with practical life experiences through the word of God to walk in the miraculous life in faith. This is the word of God.
Hallelujah. Before we sit down, I just want to read something to you that I found very interesting. Hallelujah. Amen. Something very, very significant and important, and I want everybody to take note of that. It talks about the eagle. Hallelujah. I saw it on somebody's this and I say, oh, that's interesting. Let me read to you. It says that, you know, the eagle is a very powerful animal. It flies so high. Now, it says that the only bird that dares to peck the eagle is the raven. The raven is the only bird that attacks the eagle, and it attacks the neck. So the eagle cannot remove it. But it said that it sits on the eagle's back and bites its neck. However, the eagle does not respond or fight with the raven. Are you there? It does not spend time or energy with the raven. It just opens its wings and begins to fly higher in the skies. And the higher the flight, the harder it is for the raven to breathe. And the raven eventually falls down due to lack of oxygen. Not all battles need to be responded to. Not all argument or critics you need to respond to or answer back. Just lift up a standard and go very high with prayers, and all shall fall off naturally. Stop wasting your time with the ravings of your life. Just take them. What is it? Stop wasting your time on the ravens. Just take them to your heights in prayer and they will fade away. The enemy may sit on your back and bite you. But remember, the race is not for the swift, nor the battle for the strong. Lift up your hands and pray. You know, life is full of challenges, but God has given us the way out. If we can commit things to God in prayer, everything changes. Lift up your hands and pray the Lord, give me the wings of an eagle to fly higher with you. In prayer, lift up your voice and pray, say, Lord, make me an eagle. Make me an eagle in the spirit. In the spirit, in the spirit, in the spirit, rise on your feet or wings, rise in prayer, lift up your prayer to your God. Every raven that is disturbing you, every bravery. You don't need to fight. You don't need to argue. You don't need to do anything. Just keep flying higher. Keep flying higher. Keep flying higher. Keep flying higher. The Lord says, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up wings as eagles. As you wait on the Lord in prayer, God will give you the wings. The wings. The wings. Pray the Lord. From today, I will seek your face in prayer. I will wait on you and fly higher. Every raven in my life is dropping down. Every raven in my life is dropping down on the wings of prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. Isaiah 40, 29 says, quickly, he giveth strength to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. May the Lord increase your strength. The next verse, he said, even the youth or young people faint and get weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But you see, there's a colon there, but it's about to give you a better explanation. So the next verse 31 says that, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. From today, may the Lord give you the wings of the eagle. He said, they shall run and not be weary. They shall rock and not faint. Why? They that wait upon the Lord. They that have time to pray. They that commit themselves to prayer. Bible says, you mount up wings as eagle. That is where any raven in your life, you don't need to fight. That's so higher. At a point, they can't breathe the kind of air you are breathing. They will drop naturally. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, give me the eagle's wing as I wait on you in prayer. As I wait on you in prayer. As I wait on you in prayer. Give me the wings of an eagle and cause every raven of my life to drop down. Everything that has been disturbing me, troubling me, is coming down. As I yield myself in waiting on you, in praying, in praying, in praying, in praying, as I spend time in your presence and pray, let every raven, every raven, every raven, every raven give up on me as I soar to my height of glory. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you. That they that wait on you, they that seek you, they that spend time in your presence, they that have patience, not to be in a rush from your presence. Oh, give us the delights of the law in which we shall meditate day and night. We shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. Fill us with you, Lord. Give us a desire to get closer to you. Desire to spend time in your presence. To seek your face, Lord. Not to bother about the things of this world and the troubles that people are coming against us. But when we seek your face in prayer and wait on you, you say you give us wings as eagles. Oh Lord, I pray that the eagle wing be given to every one of your people gathered here. That there shall be men and women who knows how to wait in your presence in prayer. And let their prayers come, they come out of their prayer closets as fire burning, Lord, from your presence, Lord, destroying every work of Satan. I pray for everyone, oh Lord, that's are gathered here. Even as we hear your word, let your word come like fire and burn the chaff of sickness and disease, infirmities and issues of their lives. Be burnt away as your word enter into them. Let them rise up, O Lord, and shine, for your glory has come upon them. Holy Spirit, we love you so much, for we know that in this church, it is you that speaks to us. not the voice of a man. And that is why we thank you for your presence. And thank you for every soul represented here. We arrest your attention to your call. No attention is diverted from you. Let them see you. Let them hear you. Let them receive from you. And let them be blessed because they came. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And all the saints can say amen. Amen. Why don't you clap your hands? Welcome. Somebody say, welcome to church. Tell the next person, welcome to church. Say, God bless you. Say, I love to see you in church. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to take this opportunity also to welcome our brothers, our sisters who are far from us, but today we had the privilege of them to join us. Sister Portia, you are welcome from Tanzania. It's a great thing to see you again. Powerful. I'm sure next week is your testimony time. But we also have a lot of testimonies that the church has not heard. But you have to share for us to encourage us. Hallelujah. And thank you very much, Vicky, for coming, and your handsome husband. They have been a blessing. Many years ago, she was with me, and then we waited on God for him to arrive from U.S. She was in Ghana, but the husband came from U.S. to come and marry her. It's not a powerful thing. It's great. And by the grace of God, 7 years. No, that's one of the things that God has put on me. I had an assistant who was my assistant. A lady came from London to come and marry him my way. Oh, yes. I'm not saying a man came to me. I say a lady came from London, bought everything about him, including his shoe, and came to marry him and took him away. He was my assistant. So I know that grace, she was with me, you know, that's singing powerfully for me before I minister. But there was a need for a man to enter her life. And we waited on God, and the Lord opened that great door. And it has been a blessing. And so they are just here. They decided that, no, they want to come and pay me a visit here. So here we are. This is our church. She has been following us even in Facebook in the U.S. Yes. So he said he knows many of you by face. That doesn't know your names. He was telling me about, he said that your assistant, and always very, very, now you know. So that's why I said, you have to come to church, because you may never know who is watching you from U.S. Some of you, maybe somebody spying you in the church. You don't know. You may never know. Hallelujah. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing to see the impartation in people's life. The little that God has given me to do for him. Amen. I'm not a full-time pastor, but God has used me to do a lot, a little for a few people. And I believe that as Lord give me more life, more lives are going to be impacted. Hallelujah. I want to believe that you are one of the next person that is going to become a very great testimony. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. The Bible says that pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That is, a Christian, you shouldn't stop praying. If you are a Christian, if you are a human being, if you are a human being, you can't stop praying. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he speaks a parable to this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men, if you're a human being on earth, you ought always to pray and not to faint. So, a Christian lives his life by prayer. Your whole life must be prayer. Every time there should be praying going. That is why we are teaching you how to pray. And we have taken my time for the last 1.5 months to go help you. Because that is the master foundation you need to become a good Christian. Mark 1.35, in a great while before the day, he left the house and went to a solitary place. And there he prayed. Jesus was a prayerful person. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. He went all night to pray. Luke 6, 12. All night. Jesus Christ's whole life was always, it came to pass that in those days that he went into a mountain to pray. And he continued all night in prayer. So can you imagine God's son on earth? What does he need? He only said, "Daddy, what is it?" And then it comes. Yet he spent time to pray. So that is why the disciples said in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, when after he has finished praying, they said, "Teach us how to pray. We want to know how to communicate with God." Prayer is communication with God. This great God Almighty say, "Come and fellowship with me." How do you fellowship with God? By singing praises and worship and prayer. That's the only way you can communicate with God. And put all your requests and your needs before him. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Jeremiah 33. It says what? Call upon me. I will answer you. 33:33. Jeremiah 33:33. So these are the scriptures. Oh, write this scripture. Don't fold your hands. See, we have come to church. I've given you about 4 scriptures about prayer. And you need to write all of them down. That is what it means to be a Christian. That your whole life is about prayer. You must spend more time praying than even doing anything else. Because you can pray in the spirit whilst you are eating, you are working. So that means that if you dedicate, you make your mind correct, you can be praying 24 hours a day. Or let's say 12 hours whilst you are working. Without knowing that you have been praying for 12 hours. Because it's a continuous thing. You don't know what wind is blowing against you, what is coming through the wind. You understand? Yesterday I visited one of my church members who had lost a wife. Very young, beautiful girl, 41. I said, I'm talking, they're having that 1 week ceremony. 41. And she went through a whole lot of pain before you. That's why I was asking, when did this disease enter into her? Because, I said, when you marry her, did they have this disease? No. So, what time in the course of her life that this door or window opened for Satan to enter and bring such disease into the body? Very serious disease. Is it called? You have to go through chemotherapy, a whole lot of very expensive, and after all the money they spent, she still died. So you see, listen, life is not the way you say. Very beautiful. I have 5 children. Small. So the question, when? You wake up in the morning, you are going out, you are coming, you are going. When did that kind of disease enter into the body? There may be a particular day. There may be something that can open a certain door for Satan to enter and bring that disease into your body. So if that's why, assuming you are, if it's a you live a prayerful life, you see that maybe at the time that the sickness was coming, you were praying in the spirit. And the force of heaven would have come to prevent it from entering into your body. But you see, people, we are Christian, but we are not spiritual to sense. You go to party, you just eat without praying over the food. You don't know what they have put inside it. You sit in the car, the people you are going with, you know what they are carrying, you don't know. And you are not conscious of the fact that anything can happen to you any day, any time. That is what Jesus said. Pray. Say, Luke 11, 18, verse 1. He spoke to this. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The day you faint, know, there's a proverb in Asarakan that the one who is chasing you, if he's not tired, you cannot say you are resting. The one who is chasing you says, I'm not tired. Then you say, oh, please, allow me to rest more. And then later, when I go, you chase. No. Your pursuer is not tired. You say you are tired. And Satan, Bible says, is rolling like a lion. Have you seen a lion rolling and looking for meat to eat before? You are antelope, lion want to eat. You say, please, I'm tired of running, so can I rest more? When later we can. You, before you know, you are a meat in the mouth for them. So listen, I'm not scaring you, but I'm showing the reality of life. You know, one of the things, when I hear somebody is dead, the first thing I think is that, what might have caused this person to die? What time did that disease or sickness, and remember Jesus Christ asked this question. When they cast the guy who was foaming and all this, the question is like, when did this sickness come? The father said that from his infancy. He said, So when he was, the infancy means that maybe at the time she was being delivered, you don't know the hand that brought you out. The hand that bathed you. The one that your mother left behind to take care of you. What he did to you spiritually. You don't know all these things. So many of us, we are living under a certain problem because even from the beginning, where your father, your mother left you, so that somebody should take care of you. And when he came, you were crying, but you didn't tell your mother what they had done to you. And you were a baby, so you didn't know what they had done to you. But you, so the thing is following you. If you don't pray for those things, the fire of God to burn it and take it off, it will follow you like that. So men ought always pray. So throughout the Bible, you see anybody you can think of, pray. That's why I'm taking my time. Maybe probably, I don't know, but today may be the last day I'm teaching about it. But the book is there. Get it? Okay? So, at least we teach you. I've taught you three important prayer topics. And there are many. Depend upon when you come to church. Those who come to church on Sunday, they know three. But those who come to church on Sunday, they have more than three. They know they have more than three. Yes. But at least, you must know these three important prayer topics. Number one is what? The Lord's Prayer. Okay? And the Lord's Prayer topic is not a recitation of the Lord's Prayer. That's what Jesus Christ taught us. As you learned it from since you were a child. But the Lord's Prayer topic has 8 components that you need to stand on and pray. And if every component you pray for at least 30 minutes, that means that you can be in the presence of God for 2 hours. That's praying the Lord's Prayer topic alone. So if you go before God and you cannot pray for, if you say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Check the time. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. As it is in heaven, give us this day our bread, and forgive us our debt, as it is in heaven. Amen. How many minutes? So you imagine you visit your father and you just go and recite and do that. Drink it, drink it. How I wonder what you are. I wonder what you are. Then you leave your father. Can you get anything from him? When you came to recite something you were taught in class 1 to your father, is that a fellowship with your father? So could that be how Jesus Christ said we should pray? That means that it was not the right way. He was only showing us what the formula to pray. The pattern. That's when you pray, pray after this manner. So use these 8 steps to be able to pray topic 1, topic 2, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, topic 3. By the time you are done with that formula, you would have been in the presence of your father for at least 1 hour. You understand? At least. And everybody here should be able to pray alone in your room, in your office, wherever you are, at least 1 hour a day. Joyce, you understand what I'm saying? Yes. You should be able to just be alone with God for 1 hour. Without any interruption, put off your mobile phone for at least 1 hour. Don't check what is happening to your WhatsApp or your Facebook. Leave it behind. Just stay in the presence of God for 1 hour. Learn it. Because Because life is not the way we see it. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Lord's Prayer topic has 8 points. You have already talked about that. Then last week, we learned about the Ephesians prayer topic. Okay? Which has also six components. Six components that you need to use to also be able to pray. And there are different stories, different demands of those topics. Okay? So that was the message I preached last week. You can go for the message. I'm not going to preach that one. Today, we are looking at the last one, which is the Timothy prayer formula. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Are you there? 1 Timothy chapter 2, sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is another formula that you need to learn if you want to know how to pray. We are teaching you how. How? What are the things that you need to be saying when you say you are praying using the Timothy formula? So he said that, I exhort thee that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. First of all, what? Supplications. Supplications. What is supplications? He has mentioned four things that you have to use when you come before God. You're using this formula. Supplications. Prayers. Intercessions. And giving of thanks. What is supplication? See, you always have to ask yourself, what is the meaning of this? Well, the person who wrote it, he understood what he said. But you who is reading, you don't understand. So you have to find out. Okay? So what, I think that the key people show us the meaning of supplication. And what to say. Then it's, it make it clear. You bow and humble yourself and ask. The art of learning how to bow, humble yourself, and ask for something. Your prayer is talking to somebody. And your posture will show the kind of response you will get. Oh, you don't understand? If you ask something from somebody great, your posture is very important. So you have to learn the art of supplication. Supplication. You can't go before a great person and say, you know what, can you bring me this? And say, I need this, you know, please, I need this. Can you help me? Sometimes the way, and I like our Nigerian brothers and sisters. Oh, God. Oh, God. I mean, for them, kneeling down is like it's an easy thing to them. They just kneel down. Ghana man. Shoulder high. We don't know how to do that. We don't know how to do it. No. I'm teaching you. That's why I'm teaching you. Yeah. I'm teaching you. Teach you how to relate to great people. And God is one of the greatest person. If you know how to relate to God, it's easy to know how to relate to a leader. Supplication. Supplication. Can you imagine your husband came from house, from the office, and when he landed now, my Lord, you are welcome. Hey, what is happening here? I mean, you can imagine the way your husband will be so. Husband, am I speaking truth or not truth? Thousand Ghana cedis, I receive. Charlie, if you get home, your wife will give you supplications. She will hold your legs. You are welcome. You are welcome, man. That's why I say I like Nigerians. They have this spirit in them. You are welcome, my Lord. Oh God, you are welcome. So you see, immediately they do that, you see that the Oga, he feels so excited that, oh, Charlie, take it. But you have made the person feel significant. So he also had to respond by showing that the honor you are giving to him, he needs to show it to you that he has it. Are you here? Welcome. Twice, do you understand what I'm preaching about? Supplication. Look at the nearest sister and say, learn how to do supplication. Learn how to do supplication. 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 Prayers. Requested. Intercession. Intercession is also one of the prayers topics you need to do. There's not always the need to pray for yourself. Sometimes you go before a great person, not for yourself, but so that you intercede on behalf of somebody. Hallelujah. Because sometimes your personality will help the situation better than the person who committed the sin. Are you understand that? Intercession. That's why God is always saying that if I can find a man who intercede, I will stop. He said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he showed to Abraham. Abraham said, God, if you go and find 40 people, will you destroy them? He said, no. 50. He said, no. 20. 30. He came to 10. He couldn't get. But you see, you could see Abraham. He was not praying for himself. He was interceding on behalf of the people. May God give you the spirit of intercession. It's a very powerful prayer. Of course, you see, when you learn how to intercede on behalf of people, even the person that you are doing, you have a special kind. And even though you are interceding for somebody, God will bless you for thinking about that person instead of yourself. Hallelujah. And giving of thanks. Learn how to say thank you to people. Appreciate what people have done for you. And anytime you see that great person, learn how to say thank you. Many people easily forget the thing that are done to them. They forget. That's why we don't pray. We don't use this formula because we forget many things God has done for us. There's no way that if you are you are not a forgetful person, you always have a reason to thank God. To be in the presence of God and just pray. Just pray. That you don't have any topic, but all that you are here, say, Lord, I'm here to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Many of even we give you something, it's like, oh, is that all? Then you throw away. Hey, you don't have somebody has thought about you and giving something small. And then you have despised it and despised the person. That's why you won't call the person and say thank you. Oh yes. I always tell about people. When you are going to marry, counseling, pastor, this pastor, arrange my pastor, everything you call pastor. When you bless them, that from today, I've declared you husband and a wife. And you made them husband and that they can enjoy themselves. That's the end of your life. They can't remember that to be called a wife. And to be called a husband, it was this person who declared and made me. So let me say thank you to you. In their wedding, you have still a long list of things. The cameraman, 5,000. The food, 2,000. The one who painted the face, budget for it. No budget for the pastor who's going to declare them husband and wife. He doesn't have budget in the whole program. But meanwhile, he's the one who's going to say that from today, you are husband.
Cameraman, can cameraman make you a husband and wife? That is why we don't pray, because see, because we don't know how to say thank you, we can't appreciate God whose breath we are breathing free of charge. Go to hospital and see who had to pay for oxygen. And go and see how much it costs to put that oxygen on your nose for 1 hour. Then you can wake up and go on your knees just to go and just thank God for that. That God, the fact that I can breathe alone. And you see, because we live in the world, what's happening? In the world where if I don't have money in my pocket, there's no need for me to pray. If I'm going to pray, it means that I need something from God. So may God help you and I, that these four ways of praying will always be. Hallelujah. Are you there? Go home. So these are the four types of prayer that we have to offer every person. So the Bible said that we should pray for who? We pray for all men. Verse 2. All men. The next one is we should pray for who? Quickly, verse 2. Hey. Who is controlling the thing? For who? For kings. For kings. Please concentrate. We should pray for who? For kings and for all that are in authority. Hallelujah. For who? For kings and who? All that are in authority. So, the Ephesian prayer topic demands that, what do you call that? Timothy prayer topic, that we have to spend time to pray. For political leader alone. Some of all you say leader, then your mind go to the president. Yes. And you say this president, I will never pray for him. You are not a Christian, because God didn't say that the leader of your political party. He said the leader. Leader. Every leader that God has placed on you, whether we like it or not, for the next 3 years, the only president we have is this short man called Kufuor-Addo. Whether you like it or not. And his decisions will affect you. So you, Bible said that pray for them so that their decisions they take, you know, they will have divine influence in this. Because when they go for cabinet meeting, will you be there? But whatever decision they take, it can affect you. It affects us every day. It's not true. Uh-huh. So we see man, since when? Na bom pa ma president. Umboni di kura da wom pa ibom. Into anonzo, any spirit be a influencing no. And anonzo di taking home decision. So if you have prayed a certain prayer, maybe God will have answered your prayer and put a certain idea into the president's head. But because you say you didn't vote for him, you don't like him. And anonzo, okay. Anonzo, it's a human being, so I have to take decisions. Hallelujah. And all authorities, meaning that not the political leaders, anybody that God has placed upon your head as a leader demands your prayers. Yeah. Amen. That means I have to pray for your pastor. Your pastor. So that God will fill him with the spirit. I mean, I don't know how many of you will pray for me. You don't. If I'm dependent upon your prayer, by this I would have resigned a long time ago. But to understand, as I stand here every day, I'm preaching. God should direct me as to even the message to preach to you. God should anoint me so that the message I'm preaching will be a blessing to you. Because at least for nothing at all, you are sitting in front of me for an hour every day. So within an hour, what I'm saying should affect you. And God, your prayer should help God to put a certain thought in me. a certain revelation in me so that once I am sharing it, it will be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can, how many have felt that? It's like when you came, the preaching that was preached, like somebody has reported you to me. You see, because God knows your need. And as I am preparing, he has to show me a scripture and put it in my heart. Not because I need it, but because he knows that somebody in the church needs it. And so he has to put it in his heart. Or inspire him to make a statement while he's preaching. Because it is to address your situation because you prayed for him. Hey, you understand what I'm saying? So the topic is showing that we should learn how to pray for people in authority. Pray for your husband as a head over you. Because any decision of your husband affects you and your children. If your husband dies today, you shall be called a widow. Or you haven't thought about that. You shall be called a widow. When you are failing for married, single, widow, disease, you take widow. You'll be forced to take widow. See, because maybe you should have prayed to save him from certain stupid decisions he was going to take. But you are annoyed with him, so you allow him to go ahead and take that foolish decision. And that foolish decision has caused him to die. And so you have been forced to become a widow. Yes. There was a certain guy who was my assistant. As he was leaving, I called him and said, "Don't go. Don't leave." I believe if the wife had said, "Listen to what Reverend was saying," she would have stayed. But somehow, she encouraged him to leave. He came to my house, and I said, "Brother, the decision you are taking is not a good thing. Don't go." "Oh." Few days after, I was there, they called me and told me that he's passing. When I visited, they left the church. They just left the church. A little issue came, they felt offended, so they just left the church like this. He didn't know that he has a few days to leave. He left his position in the church. But after that, I went to the house. It was there. The wife realized that. You know the story of Haman? When he planned to kill Mordecai, it was his wife who said, "Oh, let's make a gallows high. Let's make the gallows high." So, because anytime he comes home, he said, "Oh, I am excited. The king loves me. Everybody likes me. But there is this guy, Mordecai. When I see him, I lose all my anything about my life." So the wife said, "So what do you do? Are you not the man in charge? Organize something and just eliminate him." So he gave a bad counsel. And as the man followed, he didn't know that the gallows he was raising up, it was meant for himself. Before the wife could say Jack Robinson, her own husband's neck was inside it. He had become a widow. Foolish decisions. So that's why I said, if he had prayed for him, say, "Hey, brother, this thing you are doing, just leave it, that guy, and let's be happy." But you won't pray for your husband, though. Rather, you are giving bad counsel for him to take this, and it affects you. Listen, that's why I said, pray for those in authority. Anybody that God has placed upon you, don't joke with this thing we are talking about. Your boss in an office can decide to sack you from today. Your boss. The butler and the baker. In Genesis chapter 40, they were serving the king. He took them to prison. And they met Joseph there. Joseph said, "Pharaoh will do this, go do this." As time they were in the prison, the king was planning which one to kill and which one to save. You see, because an authority figure has influence on your life. And so, if you don't pray for him to have a certain good heart towards you, and the evil thought continue to enter into him, he may make a certain suggestion and decision that would end your life. It can end your life. So don't say that this man boss is too troublesome. Hey, he's too difficult to work with. Pray for him that Lord touch his heart. Because Bible say in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. Write it down. I'm preaching to you. I'm giving scriptures. Proverbs 21, verse 1. What does it say? The heart of the king. The heart of the king. Remember, the Bible said that guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What comes from the person's heart? The heart that controls his life and his decisions. The Bible said the heart of the king, the king's heart, is in the hand of the Lord. God controls that heart. So if you're able to pray to God to control the heart or to influence the heart of your leader, he will show you favor. If you don't pray for him, an evil thought fills the heart. He will take a bad decision and you'll be the one to suffer for that. Hallelujah. Are you here? I've gone home. So, this prayer topic is saying that when you do that, you shall have peace. Go back to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, sorry. He said that so that we shall lead. We may lead a quiet. Why do we have to pray for kings and authority figures? That you may lead a quiet and peaceable life. When instead of praying for your husband, you are attacking him and fighting with him, you bring confusion in the house. Instead of peace and quietness. Your duty is to pray for him, not to argue with him. Not to challenge him. Not to, he say one and you say two. Say one, you say two. You are not bringing, Bible said that, a contentious woman destroys their house. Many women destroy their houses because of their attitude. Instead of Bible say, pray for an authority figure. He said, he's not an authority figure. We are all the same. Especially those who are married in the Western countries. We are all the same. But the Bible makes it clear that the man is the head. That you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all your godliness, in your earnestness. If your husband says, I won't go, the way you are fighting, I won't make you go to church. You can't say you are coming to church. But if I pray for him, say, oh, you are going to church, okay, you can go. You would have developed your spiritual power life. But because you are always fighting, you say, hey, I'm the one who married you, stay home. What can you do? Your godliness is gone. Hallelujah. If the president came and said that, curfew, no church, everybody will close and go. Everybody will go. Hallelujah. Are you there or go home? Now, in Nehemiah chapter 1, there is this story of this man called Nehemiah. Watch what happened. In Nehemiah chapter 1, hallelujah. Are you there? Are you going to pray for leadership? Nehemiah chapter 1. He said that the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakiah, it came to pass in the Cheslu, in the 12th year I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of the brethren, came and out of Judah, and he asked concern. I asked him concerning Jews that had escaped, those who didn't come to captivity. We were in captivity, but what about those who were there? In Jerusalem. And they said unto me, oh, the people are left behind. They are in troubles, in great afflictions, and reproach. And the walls of Jerusalem are all broken down, and the gates are burnt with fire. Now listen to this story carefully, because all of us find ourselves in that state. Maybe somebody will come from your village and tell her, your mother and your father and your brothers, there's a trouble in the house. Some confusion. There's something has happened in the village. But you are blessed to be in Accra. Leaving somebody. It's not true. Now watch it. The Bible said that when they said that, verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned days, certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. What was his prayer topic? When he said, I found that my hometown, my brothers are suffering. I am privileged to be living in the king's palace in a foreign land. I am privileged to be a married one among my siblings. I am privileged to become the educated one among my siblings. But there are others who are suffering. How can I pray and save them from their situations? Not because I'm enjoying myself in where I live. You see, that's why many of you don't pray. Because what you are enjoying, you've forgotten that there are people behind you who are suffering. And so he said, I sat down and prayed. And I prayed to God. What is the topic? I prayed to God. Go down to verse number 11. And I said, oh Lord, I beseech thee, let now thy ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servant who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. I'm going to the king. The man I serve. I'm going to him. I pray that touch his heart. Touch his heart. That by the time I come from him and put my request to him, he should grant all my requests for me. Hallelujah. He said, I pray thee, God. His prayer topic was not for the people in the day. That as his, because he was staying with a king who had authority and power to grant. And if he needed timber, if he needed anything, the king he was serving, he was privileged to serve, have control. He can easily get it for him. That is why you must know that sometimes God send you and put you under somebody to go and serve that person because it's an opportunity for you to be able to stand up and build such a good relationship and know how to treat your boss and respect your boss and humble yourself and say so that when the day of a need comes, you can appeal to him through the prayers of God. You know, that's the same story that happened to Esther. I shared this on the first service, but I'm sharing this side in this one. Right? So the Bible said that, and then he is that the king will be touched, for I was a cupbearer. My only duty in this house is to be a sweeper in this house, but at least I have access to a big man that I'm. Have a privilege to be close to an important person. So I'm praying to God to touch the heart of my boss, the leader who controls things. And see what happened. Go to the next chapter, chapter 2. And it came to pass in the month of this thing that the king, he was drinking wine. And I took the wine and gave it unto the king. Now my face has not been before time like this. The next verse, watch it. Wherefore the king said to me, when the king saw his face, said, ah, your face has changed. What's the problem? That's not the way you serve me anytime. You come here cheerful, happy. What has happened? I can see that you are also not sick. There is only one thing that I can see, that you have a sorrow of heart. He was very sore, afraid. And he said that, what the king said to them, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance say, for the city and the place of my fathers? Not about me, but where I come from. My people. I'm privileged to be a Christian, but my brothers don't go to church. So I'm interceding on their behalf. Intercession. Remember intercession. So he said that. They lie with the sepulchre, lie with gates bent. And the next verse, verse 4. Watch it. And the king said unto him, for what does thou make thy request? By the prayers he prayed, by the time he appeared before the king, God has melted the heart of the king. And the king was ready to help him to be able to get anything he needed to be able to do the work of God. I pray that from today, your prayer life will touch the authority figure God has placed upon you. that when you appear before the person, you will have favor in his sight. That is why you sometimes you see you are poor because not because of opportunity, but because you don't know how to pray. Because not every prayer is about myself, it's about a prayer of how to pray for leadership. Because you see, the first thing said, King, live forever. King, live forever. You see your kids and so about you are insulting your boss who has employed you. The one you are staying with. Ebaye. Ebaye. And you are run away. Mueba. Hallelujah. Now watch the next verse. Watch it. So the king said, if it please the king, if thy servant has found favor in thy sight, that thou will send me to Judah and the city of my father's sepulcher, that I may build it. As a cupbearer built a city. But prayers made him be able to build. This kind of prayer he used. Your prayer can give you what you need. Life is not about money. Life is about what you can do with even your spiritual life. That's why we are teaching you. Somebody used prayer and look at the things he got. The next verse, gosh. He said that, and the king said, and the queen was sitting by him, said, for how long is thy journey? The first thing is that, how long do you want to go out of this place and live? Some of you can't take even one day leave for camp because you don't pray for your boss. That's why. You don't have any relationship with your boss. So that is why when you are going to ask for anything, say, who else? Because we have never prayed for him and touched his hand before. So you see, your life is determined by the kind of prayer you pray and the kind of people God. If the people that God has given you think that they are just, you are going to serve with them. No. I always say that anybody God sent you to serve, there is an opportunity that God has planned that is your future in front of you. Follow him and serve him. You shall become the same person one day. You shall become the same person you are serving one day. If you know how to treat a leader and respect your person who is an authority figure over you, it's a sign that is you in picture. Humble yourself and serve him. How long can I give to you? He got 3 days off. The next verse. Watch what happened. Moreover, I said to the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me to the governor beyond the river, that they may convey me over until I get to Judah. I need security. Give me soldiers to guard me. Can you imagine? Prayers, oh, it's coming from prayers, oh, not money, prayers. 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 I need security. Send me soldiers to watch over me, cupbearer. Cupbearer. I'm a cupbearer, but I know how to pray. So I'm breaking through my life destiny through my prayer life. May God help you to pray through your life destiny. Through prayer life. That's why I'm sweating teaching you. I know the time is up. But I want everybody, because I see many of you young people, your destiny is linked to this kind of prayer. You break through in life, not because you have money, but because you know how to pray this kind of prayer. He said, give me leave and give me soldiers to watch over me until I get to my hometown. From Babylon to Judah, it's a long distance. And yet the king has authority to command soldiers. You don't have some authority to command, but the person you are serving, he knows somebody who can help you to get something that you are looking for. Hallelujah. Are you there? The next one, watch. And another letter to Asaph, the keeper of the forest. Give me another letter. See, he took advantage of his relationship with this king. Say, I need leave. Give me soldiers. Now give me another letter to minister for forestry. So that they cut all the timber I need to build. No person inside it. His prayer life opened him to have all these free things. I pray for you from today. May God give you this ability. Ability to pray for authority figures. See, as you are praying for the person, you think that you are wasting your time. But what you don't know is that it is that door that opened the whole story of Nehemiah was in this. The same thing when you read Esther verse chapter 4. The same way Esther was that thing. It was that prayer said, let's go and pray and fast. And then I'll go to the king. And when I go, whether I'll die or die. He prayed, and when he got before the king said, no, Esther, you are too beautiful. I can't kill you. What do you need? He said, even half of my need, my property, I can give to you. Ladies, it's not all about painting your face. It's not about your long hair. How long you spend in the saloon. It is your prayer life that opens the door of success and prosperity to you. I pray for every one of you that from today, you will engage yourself. You don't need to fight an authority figure. Never fight an authority. Even if it's your senior brother. Just pray for the person. Because there's something he can add to your life. Never fight your husband. Never argue with him. If the discussion goes on 1, 2, 3 points, there's disagreement. Say that you are right. And allow him to carry his head. And go down on your knees and seek the face of God. If he goes wrong, God will touch his heart for you. It's better for you to engage God to deal with the person than you trying to control the person. Now, if you don't do this, and then you, in the night when he holds you, say, I won't mind you. You won't mind him, he will carry the feelings, but be careful he doesn't go and shoot you somewhere. Pray for your husband. God knows what it is. There's power in prayer. Anybody who says prayer doesn't work, that is not a spiritual person. Prayer works. I say prayer works. I say prayer works. If you can know how to do it, Nehemiah knew how to pray this Timothy prayer. Say, as I go before this king, oh Lord, touch his heart for me. Melt his heart away. Let him not become stubborn to my requests. And by the time he got there, he said, King, if I please you, give me this. The king said, take. Give me this, say, take. Give me this, say, take. The guy came down to Jerusalem. Became, from that day, he became a significant person. That's why we are reading about him. A cupbearer. Yet, through prayer, he rose up to become the greatest person. I speak a prophetic word to somebody over here. Today, you may be the poorest person. But through this prayer, God is going to use it to break you through. You don't need to spend money, but you can get there. God is showing you that people have used this kind of prayer and they have entered into greater glory. Don't sit down and say that, I don't have any job to do. I'm not working. I didn't go to school. You didn't go to school, but you have 24 hours in front of you. Go down on your knees and seek the face of your God, and God will touch somebody's heart to open a door. For you to pass through in life. But many of us are very lazy when it comes to prayer. First of all, learn how to interpret. Pray, interpret. And God is faithful to everybody. Everybody. Go and read Esther chapter 4 and chapter 5. Go and read Nehemiah. Go and read anywhere. You see the same. The same. They all got to their ultimate desires, not because of their beauty and their buttocks and their breasts and that, but because they sought the face of God. Tell another sister sitting by, says, sister, close your things and go on your knees. Close your things and go on your knees. And let God fight the battle for you. Let God open the door for you. Let God lift you higher by your prayer. And not by fighting and arguments. Hallelujah. Are you going to pray this prayer? How many are going to pray this prayer? Let's stand to your feet and lift up your voice and say, Lord, stir my heart up. Stir my heart up, Lord. Stir my heart up, Lord. I'm not going to fight authority figure. Anybody you have given to serve, given over me for me to serve, I'm going to pray for my boss in the office. I'm going to pray for my husband. I'm going to pray for my pastor. I'm praying for the president that their decisions will not affect me negatively. But Lord, you touch their hearts. You transform them. You put an idea that will bring good things into my life, Lord. Because they have the power. They have the authority. But you can turn it around for my benefit. Oh Lord, I pray. I pray. I pray We pray for our president. We pray, oh Lord, that as we are going through these economic difficulties, they will not take bad decisions, but your spirit will enter into them. When they go for cabinet meeting, let your spirit guide him. Let your spirit direct him so that they will come out with a new policy to ameliorate the challenges of their country. Oh Lord, we pray for our bishops, that your spirit will guide them. They will lead the church into glory and glory to doing your will. They will not deviate from your call. For when they lead us wrong, we shall all fall into destruction. We are praying for our pastors, that you fill them with the spirit of knowledge and revelation of you. That wherever they do, whenever they move, whatever decision they take, will be for our direction to you, Lord, and not to sway us away from you. We are praying for our leaders. We are praying for our husbands. We are praying for our bosses in the office. Lord, direct your heart. Guide them, Lord. Lead them, Lord, so that they lead us to prosperity. The business must see prosperity. Lead our pastors. Lead our leaders by your spirit. By your spirit. God, that we can have favor. We shall have favor. We want favor from the people of authority. As Nehemiah had favor. Lord, as we pray, give us favor in the sight of men who are in authority. That they will not take bad decisions against us. Bad decisions against us. That they will cause us to do well. They will lead us as true shepherds into greener pastures, into stillness of waters. We thank you. We bless you, Holy Spirit, for these teachings. We want to pray this prayer that we shall have our peace. You know, God said that so that we can have our peace. Because any confusion that a leader's decision will bring, you can't have peace in the place. You can't have peace. So we are praying because God said we should pray for them. So that they, whatever they will do will bring us peace. We can have just have our peace and go about our business. Pharaoh's stubbornness to obey the voice of God alone, the leader, caused the whole Egypt to be destroyed. That somebody's firstborn child, you'll be in your village, in your room, before you know your child has died. Why? Because your leader is fighting with God. Your leader is fighting with God. That's why we need to pray for leaders. That they don't use their position to fight a higher authority. When your husband is fighting against a church, please counsel him. Because Paul will tell you that it's not easy to fight against God. Support is, hey, be like Paul's wife. Say, hey, don't touch this man. No. Don't touch this man. I had a lot of things I can't stand. Don't go and call something that will bring curses to us. Just as you are, like, darling, let's leave them. It's not everything you have to talk about. When people are attacking leaders, don't be involved. Say, please, I'm not interested in this topic. Let's change the topic. There are many things to talk about. But for me to talk about a pastor has done this and that, you have opened your mouth wide and you are attacking the person. Instead of praying for the person, you are bringing curses to your life. Because God is the one, Bible says, who has put everybody there in positions. You may not like the person, but God said, that's the person I've chosen now. So it's not, so lift up your voice and say, Lord, I want to live a peaceful life. I want to live a kind life. I don't want any trouble. So let me not be involved in things that will bring me troubles. A leadership that is going to bring confusion to my country, in my life, in my church, in my ministry, in my destiny. Lord, I pray for every person you have given as a leader for me. We pray for them, Lord, that you will help them. You will guide them by your spirit so that we can have our peace. Our peace. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you for your revelation that you have given unto us today. Help us, Lord, to obey your word by learning how to pray this kind of prayers. Sometimes it's in our offices. And we fall victim to the human beings and people around. We listen to their counsel and join. We are going for a looter against the person who employ you. Instead of praying for the person who employ you. You hear Ghana National Association of Teachers say they are going to a demonstration. If the government doesn't give them cost of living allowance, cola, they are forgotten that they stay home for 1 year without working, government pay them. See, Thanksgiving, they forgot. Instead of Thanksgiving, they are now attacking the for 1 year, they didn't go to work, government paid them. You would have asked them, where did the government get the money from? Now the country is in crisis and we are trying to resolve it. That you have added more fire to the thing. You can see how people are. And they are Christians. Ungrateful. Ingratitude is the reason why we murmur a lot against authorities. We don't remember where we used to be when the person even brought you to that place. Instead of being grateful and praying that God help them to do well, we are rather adding more injury for their problems. That's why we are all now having peace. You won't have peace. Because you have, instead of doing something that will bring peace, you are doing something that will bring agitation. So now students are not, the school has been closed. The children don't have teachers to teach them. And we are saying we are Christians. So if nurses also come that we want cola, doctors say we want cola, everybody say they want cola, where should the government go and follow the money? Already, everybody say we don't pay, we don't want to pay e-levy. So how does it, they do it around the country? And you know that in the whole country, about 33 million, less than 1 million people eat all our taxes. The people that are going for demonstration, they are less than 1 million. And all of us, our taxes is what pays them. Teachers, police, military, those people. Our taxes, we call it. They are just less than 1 million people in the country. But they spend 90% of every tax is used to pay them. And they say still, they don't. So we who are not part of them, how do we live our life? Don't we need a cola? You have been blessed even to get employment. There's somebody who doesn't have a job. That's the kind of life we are all living. We don't know how to appreciate what somebody has done for us. That's why we don't pray to God. That's why we don't pray. But I pray that from today, God will touch that. When you are demanding something from your father or your mother or your husband, think a little about it. So how are things before even I'm going to ask this thing? Don't just presume that the man is wasting the money. Have to start, you do your own calculation and say that, okay, if he pays this, he pays this, he pays this, pays this, how much will be left in his salary? So that you'll be moderate even in asking certain questions. Pray that he can get a new job and get a better income. But we don't pray for that. All of us have. It's not true what I'm saying. But God is teaching us that we must learn how to pray this kind of prayers so that we can have our peace and we can have our situation. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We recognize the leaders you have given to us. As a church, we recognize the leader of Bishop Dag that you have given to us. We recognize his sacrifice. He has paid to bring this church what it is today. Recognize the anointing upon his life in writing even these books for us to be reading in the churches. And we pray for him, Lord. We can't criticize him, we can't insult him, we can't attack him in any way. It's not our right to do it. Our duty is to pray. Even if they have made a mistake, Lord, you can help them. And we commit them into your care. Our presidents and our foreign ministers of state, Lord, we pray for them according to thy word. Let your spirit guide them and counsel them in this trying moment where they don't even know where to get money to finance the activities of the country. They need you more than ever before. as Christians, we are commissioned by your own word that our duty is to pray for those in authority. Help them to the next 2.5 years ahead of them. If it's your will, you sack them, Lord, you can do it according to your will. But for the time being, until we get there, help them so that we can live at peace. Because as the economy and prices shoot up, every Ghanaian is bearing that cost. And we pray that the fuel price will start coming down, Lord. So that the fuel cost of transportation will come down and inflation will come down. God, we all go to the same market, Lord. Help them to take right decisions by your spirit of counsel. For in the days when Pharaoh was confused and didn't know what to do, you raised up Joseph to give him a counsel. And Joseph's counsel helped him to bring the whole country of Egypt under control. It became a blessing. We pray for Ghana and pray for our leaders. Raise up a Joseph spirit for somebody to write, talk to them and give them the spirit of humility to receive the counsel of God so that the country can be managed well and we shall have our peace to serve you. We want peace to serve you. We don't want fighting going on. There are countries that are fighting coup d'etats and all kind of confusion. The whole country is in confusion. We don't want our country to suffer the same. And so we pray for our leaders, Lord. Help them by your spirit. We pray for every leadership position that is over us. Our pastors. Our office managers in the offices. Our chief executive officers in the companies we work. We pray for them all. We pray that, Lord, you continue to guide them, that their business will do well. The company will do well. Will multiply and prosper so that our income can also be increased. We don't pray for them to lose the company to come down. But we pray that, Lord, the companies that we are working, hey, bless them because of us. So that we can have our peace of our salaries and our income to survive. We pray for our pastors, Lord. How you place upon them. They won't be speaking messages, oh Lord, that exalt themselves and put certain earthliness into us. But let them show us your ways and your wisdom and your counsel. That we know what to do by your spirit. Fill our pastors with the spirit of God. That when they speak, they won't speak wisdom or the words of human wisdom, but they will speak under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and with power and demonstration of the spirit of God. That when we come to church empty and we go home full of the word and the fire. We pray for our husbands, Lord. You have given them upon us as husbands. You chose them for us, Lord. We pray that they will fill them with a spirit of humility to learn, to know, to do the right thing. They won't engage themselves in extramarital sex and go and attract certain diseases and sicknesses and bring it for us to come and share and kill us and bring certain diseases to shorten our days, Lord. We pray that you hold them, their feelings and their desires. That when they feel like shooting outside, you hold their brakes and say, stop it. For us, because over there we don't know where they are. But only you can help them, Lord, in their weaknesses to slip into sin. Hold them for us, Lord. For we want to live our peaceful life. We don't want to become widows in our 30s, in our 40s, in our 50s, Lord. So we pray for our husbands, Lord, that when they get money, they won't be foolish in their decisions, Lord. But they use their money wisely, Lord, for the advancement of the family and the kingdom of God. Touch our husband who don't even come to church and don't know God. That, Lord, you touch them to know you so that they will live a righteous life. For many women they are chasing are women of disease and sicknesses and evil spirits. And we don't want to be partaker of these demons. That's why we pray for them, Lord. We can't speak to them to change them, but we know that the heart of the king is in your hands. Change them and transform them for better, for our good, Lord. We bless you, Lord, and thank you. In Jesus' name. As every head is bowed, every eye closed. You are here, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I want to give your life to Christ. Lift up your right hand. I'm going to pray with you for a minute. Just a minute. You want to give your life to Christ. Without Christ, you are nothing. But God wants to make you a child. And fill it with spirit. The right hand up. Let me pray for you. Everybody put your hand on your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I renew my faithfulness, my commitment, my love to you, Lord. Help me to know you more and help me to love you more, and help me to walk with you more. For I want to live by your wisdom and your counsel, and not the wisdom of this world. Thank you for answering my prayer. In Jesus' name.
We believe you've been blessed by the message. Do visit us at the Makarios Church at Ringano on the 13th New Oyo Avenue behind the American House building. This and every Sunday are first and second services at 7:30 a.m. and 10 a.m. respectively. For counseling, prayer and spiritual support, do call 0244-327717 or 0243-869119. God richly bless you.